It's been more than a year since WDET first reported on the shooting of Kenesha Coleman and how her death was changed from a homicide to a suicide. Her mother, Antoinette Ivory, says police had little evidence to back up that claim.
Because they look at her as a nobody, and I feel like they look at me as a nobody. They didn't see reason to take the case serious in the first place.
Now, other parents are coming forward with what they call a cover-up of their son's murder. Both families are suing the Wayne County Medical Examiner's Office over, quote, bizarre, unwarranted, and unreasonable death record revisions. WDET's Eli Newman has been investigating the matter for months. He brings us this story about the suspicious circumstances around the death of Isaiah White. A warning: the following story contains graphic details of a shooting and discussions of suicide.
There's a deep well of sadness that Melanie White draws from when she talks about what happened to her son.
He was loved. He was Ikey. He was my heart, my only child. And now my light has just disappeared.
Isaiah White was a Chicago native with family ties in Detroit. His father, Darren Pollard, describes him as a quiet and introspective young man.
I saw a lot of myself in him, good and the bad. You know, it's just losing him. I can't even explain it. Every day feels like it happened yesterday.
That day was September 21st, 2021, when early that morning, Isaiah White was found dead in his house by Detroit police. As described by investigators, his death was caused by a shotgun wound to the back of his head. He was 22 years old. When family arrived at the scene, there were various accounts of what happened. White's roommates claimed he had shot himself. He did have a history of mental illness and self-harming. But then White's parents were told that was not the case.
The police called me and they said, well, we have reason to believe that it wasn't a suicide.
I received the death certificate like the weekend of his service. When I opened up the envelope and I saw homicide, I just lost it.
The two had a list of lingering questions as new details came to light. White did not leave a note, and the weapon found at the scene wasn't his either. It was a compact shotgun owned by his roommate, a firearm with a nearly 19-inch barrel. It seemed impossible to his parents that their son could have shot himself that way. After the funeral, Darren Pollard went to speak with the homicide detectives investigating his son's death.
And they said that we believe it was a suicide. And I said, well, what about all the other facts? And I started telling him all the things that I had learned. And he got really dismissive. So I left out a little bit frustrated. And from that point forward, he didn't return my calls.
White's parents made several attempts to contact DPD in the months that followed. Emails went ignored. And the two live out of state, making contact even harder. Melanie White took matters into her own hands. She filed a series of Freedom of Information Act requests, spending hundreds of dollars of her own money to get police records and post-mortem reports. She says she's made one conclusion from what she's learned.
It's a cover-up. That's it. Nothing else. There's a cover-up with my son's homicide.
Detroit 911, what's the address of the emergency?
15772. My cousin just shot himself.
It's just after 1 a.m. when Trey Lapsley reports Isaiah White's shooting to 911. They're roommates and cousins. Lapsley tells the operator he was playing a video game in his room when he heard a loud boom and went downstairs. After seeing White slumped over on a couch, he says he immediately left the house.
Are you willing to go see if he's still alive and breathing, so see if we can control the bleeding going on?
I don't think I can see that.
Okay.
Police arrive within minutes. When they get to the scene, Lapsley is outside with his brother and their mother. They repeat to police that White had shot himself and had a history of mental health issues. But police see something different when they head inside the house that causes them to doubt that story. Officer Ja'Cory Scott is among the first to discover White's body and has an immediate reaction to the scene.
Ain't no way. Hold on. No, Absolutely not. Come on.
Officers find White lying on the couch, dead from a single gunshot wound. On the floor to his right, there's a shotgun surrounded by several shells. His left hand has blood on it, and his right is holding a blunt, as if he's just been smoking. Another officer, Corey Davis, comments on what he sees.
It's not a suicidal thing. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. It don't look like it was suicidal.
As police examine the living room, they comment that the scene was odd and that the shooting was an iffy call to make. More officers arrive and share their thoughts.
I feel like it doesn't look like a suicide. You're like by yourself. You're not doing anything. He has juice right here.
You're not watching TV.
Chilling
with a cigar. And that would be hard to call because if he's sitting up this way, the gun fell that way. And he got a blunt in his hand.
And if he's right-handed, if you're thinking people are mostly right-handed.
And you can't. I don't think you can hold that one. I mean, it'd be harder.
By all accounts, White was right-handed. Regardless of their first impressions, officers say it's not their job to decide what happened. They call in Detroit Police's homicide unit before the video ends. There's no mention of debate in written police records. In registering his body, an investigator reports that police's initial survey of the scene was that White had died by suicide. 2 days later, a Wayne County medical examiner performs an autopsy and shares her opinion. She writes that the investigation revealed White could not have shot himself with the shotgun in question, and only using his left hand, and she declares his manner of death as homicide. White's family say they only found out about the coroner's report after their FOIA request, and it's how they found out about a second report, one that officially changed their son's death from a homicide to a suicide.
They never notified us.
And we had called him many, many times.
Right, called, emailed, you know, and nothing.
On November 10th, 6 weeks after her first report, the medical examiner files an addendum. She writes that it was possible for White to have shot himself in the back of the head, even though he did not use his dominant hand. Citing further investigation by police, she reiterates details officers were told when they first arrived at the scene, about White's suicidal ideation and his roommate's accounting of the events. And there's mention of a blood pattern analysis, all of which lead her to recertify his death as a suicide. To this day, White's family has not seen the blood analysis used to change his death record. That document was not provided through the family's FOIA requests. Attorney Dion Webster Cox is leading a $1 million lawsuit into White's death and is representing a similar case where a separate shooting death in Detroit was changed from homicide to suicide. She claims there's a discriminatory pattern of conduct at play.
These were both African Americans, and they were both, for lack of a better term, lower socioeconomic, poor. They didn't have much. We need you to do your job and investigate.
DPD did not further elaborate on the case and did not make itself available to review the investigation. They did report that shootings have been up since 2019. Of the 327 gun-related deaths that occurred in Detroit in 2021, police report 45, including Isaiah White's, were by suicide. Lawyers for the Lapsley family, who were at the house that night, did not return a request for comment. Out-of-state medical examiners who have reviewed the case say it is possible that White could have killed himself as described, but many shared concerns that the coroner's initial report was premature and a revision should have been made with better communication with White's family. Darren Pollard and Melanie White say the lack of contact they got from investigators shows there's not a lot of empathy for families like them.
Everything in my life is turned upside down, and I can't get the courtesy of a civil conversation.
But it's just another black kid dead in the street, and you don't care. Oh, this case is closed. I can move on.
While no official could answer the rationale behind Isaiah White's death record change, that lack of notification is just one of the many problems reported at the Wayne County Morgue. Last year, an audit revealed several problems at the facility. The building itself was in a state of major disrepair. After a storm in June 2021, the morgue's cooler lost power for a couple days, and bodies rapidly decomposed. At the time, Dr. Carl Schmidt was the chief medical examiner. He told Wayne County commissioners there have been longstanding issues.
Two of the freezers are the same age as the building. This building was inaugurated in 1995. The equipment per se is actually 27 years old.
And Dr. Schmidt, how long have you been with the county?
Since 1994.
The report also revealed mismanagement under Schmidt's tenure. There weren't enough staff, and most of the pathologists working at the morgue were not board-certified death investigators. There were significant issues in tracking bodies and major delays in their release. Potentially, thousands of families were not informed about loved ones who were transported to the morgue. Because of those failings, the National Association of Medical Examiners gave Wayne County only partial accreditation. Amid negative reports, Schmidt was removed, prompting a major shift in management. For the last decade, the medical examiner's office was run by the University of Michigan. The coroners who perform autopsies and their staff were employees at its medical school. That relationship ended last year, and now Wayne State University is running the county office under a five-year, $72 million contract. Dr. Weil Sacker is the dean of Wayne State's medical school and says the university is making improvements as it rolls out a fellowship for medical students.
We walked into a situation that's suboptimal, but I think we have a very concrete plan and we have been delivering on it month after month in getting to what we need to be.
While Wayne State makes its changes, there are some holdovers from the previous administration. Dr. Lockman Sung is the interim chief medical examiner and has been working at the morgue since 2007. He says many of his colleagues from Michigan Medicine stuck around during the transition. Still, he says the morgue is only half-staffed, with about four full-time pathologists working as of February.
We are battling decrease in physician numbers, but also increase in case numbers.
Wayne County has examined more than 3,500 bodies every year since 2020, making it the busiest morgue in the state. Of that, Sung says half of those cases are not given an official death declaration, like a homicide or suicide classification. They're put in a pending status, which is usually reserved for drug-related deaths. But he says the morgue changes death records for other reasons, too.
It is very rare that that does happen. When we issue the manner of death, it's based on the information that we have presently. If in the future additional information comes, we will evaluate that information and determine if we must amend that original manner of death.
It's unclear how often those kinds of changes happen. Wayne County denied several of WDET's requests to get more information about other death revisions and their frequency. Officials with the morgue say the data is recorded in computer code that current staff are unable to access. A request to get the information from the Michigan Vital Records Office was also rejected. It's that kind of revision that happened in Isaiah White's shooting. The 22-year-old's death, which was caused by a contact shotgun wound to the back of the head, was changed from homicide to suicide by Dr. Lee Lavity, a deputy chief medical examiner. White's family argues the revision was unfounded and have named Lavity in their lawsuit. In reviewing White's postmortem documents, Sacker, himself a pathologist, noted the death record change happened through an addendum report, even though the change was significant.
Addendum in general means you're adding information and you're not contradicting anything before.
When White's record change was sent to the state, it appeared as a supplemental report to a pending death certificate, a form used to make changes on undetermined cases. And it's dated February 2022, nearly 5 months after his death. According to state health code, a revision that far removed would typically require a court order. The February date is significant for another reason. It was the same day White's family got their FOIA response from Wayne County for his death records. Dr. Sung could not account for the discrepancy in the county's communication to the state, or why someone in his office would have changed White's death from a homicide to a suicide. But he did say a medical examiner's opinion can influence police work.
If you put pending on the death certificate, I'm not saying that no investigation would have been performed, but I think the level of scrutiny when addressing a pending versus a homicide, there's going to be more on the homicide case.
White's parents contend that the revisions to his death are tantamount to a cover-up. Attempts to contact Dr. Lavity went unanswered. But she has talked about what it would take to cover up a murder before, on her very own podcast.
From the Wayne County Medical Examiner's Office, this is Detroit's Daily Docket.
Lavity and her colleagues recorded more than two dozen episodes of Detroit's Daily Docket, discussing topics that rise from their work and the true crime genre. On one show, Lavity explains what it would take to make a homicide look like a suicide.
Staging a death requires a lot of planning, intimate knowledge of policies and procedures of local law enforcement and the local medical examiner or coroner's office, and some level of cooperation from the victim. A contact gunshot wound fired by oneself or another would look the same, but the devil is in the scene details.
Isaiah White's family has been immersed in the details of his shooting for months. For them, the lack of concrete answers they've received from investigators has made them confident of one thing, that officials have moved on from a tragedy they deal with every day. I'm Eli Newman. WDET News.
A note of disclosure, WDET is owned by Wayne State University, which now runs the Wayne County Morgue.